Good morning. Well, crazy weather continues and not too bad out there today. It's supposed to get chilly the next couple days, then warm right back up. It's supposed to be a nice weekend. So thank you, Lord, for that. But it's good to be in this place. This place is called a sanctuary. It's a sanctuary from the rest of the world. This is a place where we come in here, we leave all the baggage about home and all of the pressures and fears and concerns, we leave them at the door. And we gather in this place, sanctuary, hiding from the world in the presence of Almighty God. Pretty cool. And we look around and we see each other. But what we must realize and understand is that Christ is among us. Jesus is here. Just as real as you or I, Jesus is here. Sanctuary. A place where we're safe and where we're loved and welcomed just the way we are. So let's give God our very best here this morning. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, it is good. It is good to be gathered here, Lord, to worship you and to praise you, to love one another, and most of all, to love you. It is good to be in your place, in this sanctuary. Come, Holy Spirit. Come and bless all that we do here so that it would be pleasing unto you and life-changing to us, and then through us to the people we work with, to the families we live with, to our neighbors, and the people we run into out on the road. Come, Holy Spirit. We pray that people see Christ in us. We pray that what we do here brings honor and glory and praise to you and to you alone. For you alone are worthy. It's all about you. Help us to see that, God. We give to you this day our lives as living sacrifices. We pray all this in Jesus' name, and all of God's children said, Amen. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you. Please pass that peace of Christ to one another.
Good morning, everyone, and as you make your way back to your seats, we are going to recite our memory verse for this month, which is Matthew. And so if we could repeat it twice. Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Matthew 6:12, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sinned against us. In our moments of informality, Diane has an announcement.
I'm going to be passing the clipboard around, first of all, for the talent show coming up. Now, you have all kinds of talents out there. Maybe your talent is sewing something. I understand there's an interesting crocheting idea going around. Let you think how that could be performance art. So you're going to have to come and find out about it. But if you are able to sign up for any of the acts, anything, what your talent is, please be sure to sign it. It's not like on the, I think it's on the bottom sheet. And then on the top sheet, I'm looking for volunteers to iron costumes for Living Last Supper. We have 14 costumes to be ironed. So if you are able to help with that, if anybody still has an iron in their house, I was talking to somebody today and they said, what's an iron? So if you still have an iron in your house and you know how to use it, please sign on this, okay? Thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Also, Bonnie has an announcement this morning.
I really don't need this, ask my husband. Of course, he always said, yes, you do. If you're up here, you should have this so that you can talk. But I've never had a problem talking. The women's book study, and we call it a book study because we don't, well, we refer to the Bible, but we don't particularly study the Bible. We're just finishing up. This Wednesday, we're finishing Becoming Myself. And it was a study on women. It was a study on being who God calls you to be as a woman and on who you are. And we're finishing that this Wednesday. So 2 weeks from this Wednesday, we meet every other Wednesday at 7 o'clock. And we get together, and it's very informal. Sometimes we have something to eat. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we have coffee. Sometimes we don't. You know, if everyone's there at 7, we start. If they're not, we wait. We just go with the flow, whatever it is. We do a little DVD, and then we do our study. It's very informal, and we would like to invite all you women. Our next study is going to be and I know people were looking at me going, she's on her phone. What is she doing on her phone? I was looking this up. That's what I was doing on my phone. Creed, what Christians believe and why. And this is an Adam Hamilton study on the Apostles' Creed. I have loved the Apostles' Creed ever since I learned it as a little girl in St. Stephen's Episcopal Church in McKeesport. That's where I was raised, in the church, and I love the Apostles' Creed. And when I saw this study, it's a six-week study. Now, we meet every other week, so it will take us longer to do it. But you can get the book at Cokesbury. You can get the e-book. You don't even have to buy the book. You can get it and download it to your Nook, to your Kindle, to your computer. So you don't even have to buy the actual physical book. Me, I love books. You know, I like to hold it in my hand and touch it and smell it and everything. So, and it has a study guide. So what we'll do is we'll watch the DVD, and then we will discuss what we've watched and what we've read for the week. So that, again, is called Creed, What Christians Believe and Why. So this one is not focused on us as women per se, but it's focused on us as Christians and what we believe and what we believe about other people. And I think it's a really timely study as what is going on in the world and what we as Christians need to know and need to know what is expected of us as Christians and what our vision is for the rest of the world and how we want other people to see us and not how some people portray Christians to be. So if you're interested, 2 weeks from Wednesday, this will be our start. Read through at least the first chapter. I don't have the book yet, but when you get the book, at least read through the first chapter and meet us 2 weeks from Wednesday. That is, what day is that? Anybody? 15th, 30th? No, 29th. 29th, I believe it is, because the 15th. We will not be meeting that day. Pardon? That's Ash Wednesday. Oh, shoot. Oh, shoot. We won't be meeting. We'll see everybody here for Ash meeting Ash Wednesday. Okay, let's see. Yes, she's on her phone again. March 8th. Okay, well, we will meet March 8th then. Actually, March 8th?
Yeah.
Okay, we will meet March 8th. That will be the first day. And what I'll do is I'll get more information on the book. That'll give me time to get more information together. March 8th will be our first one. We will start then. That'll give us lots of time to get the book, get the DVD, and get everything together. Okay, if you have any questions, give myself or Becky a call. Our numbers are in the bulletin. And I hope to see a lot of you ladies there. We meet upstairs in the room. Come in, go up the steps, and turn left, and you'll find us. Thank you.
As you can tell, it's going to be a great Bible study. I have another announcement from Laurie.
Good morning. I am the camp steward for this church, and I'm here today on Camp Sunday just to tell you about a few of our camps. I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because there are brochures in the back, and there's so many camps to choose from. We just won't go into that, but Anyway, I want to tell you about our three camps that we have. The one is Wesley Woods, located in Grand Valley, PA, and it's between Titusville and Youngsville. It covers about 600 acres in Warren County. And this camp is very rustic. It's the one camp that offers camps year-round. Horseback riding and fishing camps are offered in the summer, and skiing and sled riding camps are offered in the winter. We don't usually have any campers that go to Wesley Woods, I guess because it's pretty far out, but Pastor Bruce had told me that he had. Anyone here attended Wesley Woods at any time? Oh, okay. Early service, there wasn't anyone. Okay, good. Camp Allegheny, located near Somerset, PA. And it's straight up Route 30, and this camp is just 1 mile past the Flight 93 Memorial entrance, if any of you have been there. And like Wesley Woods, it's somewhat rustic, and it's known for its different horse camps. And this year, our women's weekend retreat is going to be held at Camp Allegheny. In years past, we've gone to Jamonville, but this year, they have a woman speaker, songwriter, singer, and I think it's going to be really nice. So ladies, if you want to mark your calendar, it is going to be August the 25th, to the 27th at Camp Allegheny. So I'll give you more information on that. I think in April we'll have registrations out for that. So I hope that a lot of you ladies will attend that. Our third camp is Jamonville, which is my camp. It is located on the outskirts of Hopewood, PA, in the Uniontown-Connellsville area, and it's best known for its landmark, the huge 60-foot white steel cross that stands on the mountaintop. It is not your typical camp. It actually looks like a college campus. It's really, really nice. And it offers more camps than the other two. So if you pick up a Jamonville brochure, you can clearly see there are many, many camps to choose from. Unfortunately, all of our camps every year, the cost goes up every year. So in our three camps, there's no camper that's ever turned away because they can't afford the cost of camp. We have different ways of funding. The process, first of all, in going to camp is to choose your camp first, go through the books, choose whatever camp you would like, fill out a registration form, which is found in the back of the brochure, or you can go online and fill that out and then print it out and take it into the office for Debbie, our financial secretary. At that point in time, she will attach a church check. Now, our church is able to give 40% of the total cost of your camp, so that's a pretty good amount, and that helps. The other ways of helping, we have a campership funding in this church that's ongoing. The clothing bin that sits out there in the parking lot, all the monies that we get from that clothing bin year-round go directly into campership funding. So that's been a great source. Also, we started this year a hoagie sale. We're going to see how it goes, but today is the last day to submit a hoagie order. There's some forms on the table. I will have the hoagies next Sunday back in the room by Pastor Bruce's office. Last week, I think it was printed in the bulletin, a 6-inch hoagie, but really it's a 12-inch hoagie for $6. So that was my mistake. Also, monies are available from the three camps. All three camps have a campership fund for hardship. Anybody that needs more monies to go to camp, you just contact them, and that's what it's there for. So I always encourage people to use that money. Camp gift certificates. You know, I'm talking to parents and grandparents, aunts, uncles. If you have a kid's birthday coming up or a graduation gift, it's really, really a good gift to give one of your kids. I mean, if you don't know what to buy them, it's probably the best gift that you could give them. Last year, our camp helped 12. I know in the bulletin it said 9, but I think we had 12 towards the end. A few more came on. And we actually helped 8 kids go to the youth district retreat, which was really nice for them, the youth kids. We had a total of $1,508 that was given out of our campership funding for that to make that possible. So I appreciate your support in making that happen. I'm going to be in the parlor today after the service. We have indoor s'mores. We have bugs on a log. We have hot chocolate. We have coffee. And all the brochures will be there, so if you have any questions, you can come up and see me. Thank you.
Please take notice of anything in the bulletin that may relate to you, meetings for this week. And please come and have some treats with us after church in the fellowship hall, back in the lounge. Are there any further announcements?
The depression and anxiety.
work group is Wednesday.
Is it listed differently?
No, it's in there right. Wednesday at 6.
Wednesday is a depression and anxiety group. If you feel that you need to come to that or would like to come to that, please do. All are welcome. Let us now prepare our hearts and our minds to worship our Lord. Would you please stand for our call to worship, which is found on page 840 of your hymnal, verses 1 through 8 of Psalm 119. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord.
Blessed are those who keep God's testimonies, who seek God.
Who also do no wrong, but walk in God's ways.
You have commanded your precepts to be kept diligently.
Oh, that my ways may be steadfast in keeping your statutes.
And I shall not be put to shame, having my eyes fixed on all your commandments.
I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous ordinances.
I will observe your statutes, O forsake me not utterly.
Remain standing for our hymn, In Christ There Is No East Nor West, number 548.
And for those of you who are actually reading the music, we're not doing that tune, we're doing the one it normally is done to.
Thank you.
of you have ever gone to camp? Whoa, I got a good group today. Early church, there weren't too many that had been to camp. But when you go to camp, you have to prepare for it, right? You got to pack up and be ready to go. You got to pack your bag. What kind of things do we take to camp? What do you need when you go to camp? What do you think? Chairs? Yeah, maybe like a little chair you can sit on if you're done hiking. Clothes. You definitely need a lot of change of clothes because you get wet sometimes. What else? Toothbrushes. Oh, man, toothbrushes. Yeah, we have to remember that. Soap and shampoo, all that stuff. Michael? A table? Maybe if they don't have to. If it's a real rustic camp, if you have a tent, if you're pitching a tent, yeah, you have to have stuff like that if you're going to cook over the fire, and then you need a table to put your food on. Well, some of the things that we take to camp when we go to Grandma and Me camp, we take our Bibles because we have devotions at 8 o'clock. You have to be up bright and early, and you have morning devotions. And then we have this little camp songbook. We learn songs at the dining hall, so we sometimes take our songbook to remember all the songs. We really need bug spray. We always take bug spray. That's right, yeah, because there's always a lot of bugs at camp. Right. What else do we take? What are other things? We miss anything? I know. There's always a lot of bugs at camp. Sunscreen, good. Yeah, we always need to have sunscreen. How many? That's right. That's right. How many of you have ever eaten a s'more? Oh, they're pretty awesome. Well, how do you make a s'more? What do you need? What do you do?
Crackers, chocolate, marshmallows.
Yeah, you're right. Those are all the ingredients. But how do you make it? How do you put it together?
You toast it on a stick above the fire.
Yeah, makes it pretty good. You know what? Phil would not allow me to have a real fire today. Imagine that. Because I wanted to make some s'mores, but he said, no way. So you're absolutely right. You need some graham crackers, and you need marshmallows, and best part of all, you need chocolate. My one grandson says, I'll have a s'more, but I'll just have the chocolate. That's what he likes.
My mom makes s'more casserole.
Some more casserole. I have to get that recipe. That sounds pretty good. But anyway, it's fun to go to camp. And guess what? Guess how many days before I'm so excited. How many more days before we can go to Grandma and Me camp? Remember we counted the other day? 73 more days. So I'm excited. My grandkids are excited. And you know who else is really excited? Papsap. Papsap is really glad that I'm taking off and he'll have some peace and quiet at home. But anyway, we go to Grandma and Me camp, and this year I am so fortunate because all five of my grandkids are able to go. So I'm going to need all of you to pray for me that little mini week. You know, it's going to be kind of crazy, but we're going to do it. It'll be fun. Okay, so I have some indoor s'mores to give to you guys today, and they're similar to what we make at the campfire. They have like a graham cracker crust, and then there's a marshmallow icing, and then there's chocolate. So if you each want to take one of those, and I hope I see every one of you going to camp. Do you think we should share one of these with you-know-who? I think he took the biggest one. Well, he took more than one. He's going to share them. That's what he's going to do. He's going to share them, I know. Okay.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we give you thanks. We give you thanks for church. We give you thanks for camps. Thank you for a place where we can hang out with other Christians and celebrate the life of Jesus and have fun while doing it. Lord, bless our camps. Bless all of our camping stewards. Watch over them and keep them safe. We ask this all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said,
Amen.
Amen.
We all need to stand up. We're going to sing Follow. Remember how they do at camp? Right? That's the very last song before we take off for the day. Okay? So I'll help you and you can help me. Kelton in Ireland, you know how it goes. Okay? And it goes like this. Follow, I will follow thee, O Lord, each and every single day. Bump, 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 bump. My tomorrows are unknown to me and you. Thou wilt guide us all the way. And then what do they say? What do they say at the end?
Have a good day, campers.
Yep, that's what they say.
No one else can love the way Jesus does. Even when we fail, His love's still there. No one can love the way Jesus does. And there's no end to His loving care. No one else can love the way
so much, Sophia and Hannah. That was beautiful. Our Old Testament reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 15 through 20. It is a review of the laws from Moses to the Israelites as they prepared to enter the promised land. Hear these words. Now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, his decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are about to occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you are drawn away to serve and to worship other gods, Then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing into the Jordan to occupy. Today I have given you a choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the ending of our Old Testament reading. Will the ushers please come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings?
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to give back to you just a small portion of that which you have blessed us with. We pray, Lord, that you would bless and multiply these offerings and use them as you see fit through the ministries of this church for the spreading of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Bless both gift and giver, those who were able to give and those who weren't. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord, and please be seated. Joyce. Sunshine? On the count of three, give me a big smile. Ready? Ready? Wait for it. Wait for it. One, two, now you know you can't help it. Three. All right. Joy. Give me some joy here. I'm sorry, go ahead. You had safe travels. Okay. Yesterday was your dad's birthday. Happy birthday.
Today's my aunt's birthday.
Today's your aunt's birthday. Tell her we said happy birthday. Bonnie and I celebrated 39 years yesterday. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a joy that she hasn't realized what trouble she got into. That's yeah. She does indeed. Other joys? Camp, family. Answered prayer. First responders. Men and women in the military. The what? The bells that rang this morning, yes. Kids that sang. We're going to hear about them someday. Indoor plumbing, yes, my personal favorite. Thank you, Jesus. Spring is coming, and it's another day closer. It is indeed. So for all of our joys, we say, praise the Lord. Pens and pencils, our concerns. Today we have, we need prayers for the Higginbotham family. Sarah's brother, Donald, passed away. Please keep the Higginbotham family in your prayers. Phil's sister passed away Thursday. Keep Phil and family in your prayers. Devin, battling cancer. Keep Devin in your prayers. Ruth, keep her in your prayers. Laura, she comes to Saturday night service, works at Giant Eagle. Laura fell and broke her ankle. We want to keep Bruce in our prayers. And Doris, all those who are traveling, keep our church in your prayers and our country and our country's leaders. Pray for our meeting this afternoon at 2 o'clock, that we have a good turnout, and that we can address all of our ministry concerns. Paul, in your prayers. Anybody else? Other concerns? Okay, Colton.
My friend, the hairdresser's mother, she's still not doing well. If you could keep Mrs. Golick in your prayers.
Mrs. Golick. Billy, Bonnie's cousin, that his heart is down to 15% or less. And he doesn't want any more help. He wants to go home. So, and those who take care of those who are on that final journey. So for all of our concerns, and an unspoken request. If you have something for God, just give it to God with the raised hand. And so for all of our concerns, we say, Lord, hear our prayers. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, for all of our joys, we say thank you. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise. We indeed are a blessed people. Lord, for our concerns, we believe that you're greater than any problem that we have or anybody else has. We believe that your word, Lord, takes care of these things, because your word is living and alive, and it will not return unto you void until it has accomplished that for which it was sent out. The chastisement of our peace is upon Jesus. By his stripes we are healed. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in this world. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. With you, God, all things are possible. We have favor with God and man. It is written. And we stand on those promises. We believe, God, help our unbelief. And we lift up into the light and love of your presence the Higginbotham family and Ruth and Devin and Paul and Colton and Mrs. Golick and Billy and caretakers, our country and our country's leaders, our church, our community, Laura and Doris and Bruce, those who are battling cancer, those who are traveling. We lift up to you our shut-ins, that meeting this afternoon, and we lift up to you the unspoken request. You know each and every heart. You know each and every detail. We believe, God, help our unbelief. Come, Holy Spirit, and we will give you all the honor and the glory and the praise, for you alone are worthy. This we pray in Jesus' name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the reading of the gospel. This is the word of the Lord. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, Raca, is answerable to the court, and anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge. The judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery. And anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Thank you, Lord, for the reading of your holy word. Please be seated. Corruption. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, corruption is all around us. I tell you, it's just sickening. We read about it every day. We see it in the news every day. Everything is corrupt. Our society is just falling apart. Rome, that mighty empire, biggest empire in the world at one time, and it was It just fell apart from the inside because of moral decay and corruption. You know, it's okay to lie. Lying is one of the seven sins that are listed that God considers an abomination. But in our society today, man, it's no big deal. Politicians do it all the time. You know how a politician's lying, don't you? His lips moving, yeah. Just sports figures lie. Entertainment industry. Everybody lies. They lie to congressional committees. They lie to reporters. They lie to one another. And if they get caught, well, no big deal. You know, in Hollywood, man, you get caught in a lie, that's good news because negative exposure is better than none. Just lie, lie, lie. And the people who are supposed to be setting examples for our kids to follow, man, they can't find the truth anywhere. And the Star and the Inquirer and other papers like that, that's called yellow journalism. They make their money off of half-truths and lies. Lie, lie, lie. I'll tell you. And the father of all lies, according to the Bible, is Satan. It's the father of all lies. It is not an acceptable lifestyle. Lying. And movies today. Movies today, and I've said this before, but movies today make heroes out of bad guys. They blur the line between lies and truth until you're not sure what to believe. Anybody here ever seen the movie John Wick? I got the movie, you know. My son just borrowed it yesterday. Looking forward to seeing John Wick 2. It's out now. I like the movie John Wick because it's action-packed from the beginning to the end. Keanu Reeves plays John Wick. Keanu Reeves was in Matrix, thank you. And I really like the guy and plays a great character. But here's how crazy this is. John Wick is a hitman for the mob. A very good hitman for the Russian mob. He was so good that they would say that the boogeyman was afraid of John Wick. And John Wick gets married and he leaves that lifestyle. His wife gets cancer and she dies. When she dies, she makes arrangements that upon her death, a little puppy would be sent to him so that he would have somebody to love. So he gets this puppy. And in the meantime, this Russian mob boss, his son and his buddies, they like John Wick's car. They see it at a gas station, and they want his car, and he won't sell it. Well, they don't know who John Wick is. So they break into his house, they beat him up, trash the place, kill his puppy, and take the car. So John Wick goes back into business, and he kills all these Russians, slaughters them left and right, kills the son, because they killed his puppy. Don't you feel bad for John Wick? He's a hitman for the mob. The man's a murderer, a killer. And yet Hollywood makes you feel bad for this man who's a murderer. You know, and they do it all the time. Where is the truth? And computers and technology, which I love. I love computers and technology. Yep, I love gadgets. But seeing isn't believing anymore. What you see is what you get. Might as well throw that one out the window. Because with computers and technology today, you don't know what to believe anymore. Commercials and anything on TV and Facebook and all that can be computer-generated images. You have no idea whether it's real or not. And they people use it all the time to get over on us. Truth in advertising. Each one of you here has a product. You're all selling the same product. You've made your own product, and they all look different. And every one of you says, my product's the best. Well, somebody's lying.
But you see it all the time in advertising. And the things that they advertise that they'll do, they don't do. And there's built-in obsolescence. Things go bad after a certain period of time. Truth in advertising. Jeez. Well, our scripture reading today, taken from the lectionary, shows us that corruption and lies, all that stuff existed forever with the dawn of time. It's always been bad. It's part of human nature. Part of the human nature. Matthew 5 says that it is not enough to act like you are holy if you're not holy in your heart. It's not enough to just go, so you didn't kill anybody, but in your heart you've hated people. Where you're just, the Bible tells us that you're just as wrong if you hate people in your heart as if you actually killed somebody. It's all about the attitude and integrity. If there's no integrity in us, then there can be no holiness. We have to have integrity. And integrity is that thing that you'll do when nobody's watching. What will you do? Do you have integrity? Will you do the right thing? Will you do what pleases God? Whether anybody sees you or not. In Matthew 5:21, in God's kingdom here on earth, there's no room for hypocrites. That's what this passage is telling us from Matthew 5. There is no room for hypocrites. We've got to go beyond the law, what it says to do the right thing. We've got to feel and believe the right thing. And yet, even in Jesus' midst, we had Judas, who was a hypocrite, one of the 12 disciples. And he had no generosity for others. He was self-centered and greedy. Now, Jesus said he was chosen for a reason, to fulfill a purpose. But he was a hypocrite. And people, this place should be packed. We should have tons of people in here, both services. But we don't. And a big reason we don't is because people don't like hypocrites in church. That church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. I hear that all the time. You've probably heard that too. People who come on Sunday morning and act all holy and then run you off the road during the week. Cut in front of the line, selfish, mean-spirited, talk about you, stab you in the back, gossip, lie, cheat, steal. But in church Sunday morning, you know. James chapter 2, faith without works is dead. I'm telling you can talk all you want about being a Christian, but if you're not a Christian on the inside, you're wasting your breath. Being a hypocrite is not an acceptable lifestyle for a Christian. Matthew tells us that when you bring a gift to God, you've got to do it with a pure heart. So when you bring a gift to the altar to give to God, you're putting that money in the offering plate that goes around. That's a gift to God. If you know that somebody has a problem with you because of something you've done or said, you've got to take care of that. Because that gift to God means nothing to God if you're not right with your fellow human being. We need to be right with one another. As far as it is possible, live at peace with other people. As far as it is possible for you, you're to do whatever it takes to love one another, to live at peace. Adultery. Matthew 5 tells us that it's not enough to just keep the law on the outside so you don't physically have an affair with somebody, but in your heart and in your mind you lust after them all the time. In your heart and mind you're always thinking of ways to get close to that person, to see that person. You're having an adulterous affair in your spirit. And you know what? Not only does it hurt your relationship, but it separates you from God. Because your heart is not pure. You're being devious. You're being self-centered. You're turning your back on God when you're lusting after other people. And it's something that is prone to the human nature. It's okay to see somebody who's really handsome and well set up, somebody that you think is, well, that's a fine looking, oh no, see somebody that, you know, like Alan, you know, this tall, big guy, you know, good looking, handsome fella, with the goatee, you know, more of that face you cover up, the better. So let that beard grow. But it's okay to feel that way about somebody, to think somebody looks nice and attractive. But then when you go out of your way to start dwelling on it and thinking about it and indulging yourself, then you're lusting. And God says, that's not right. So like the psalmist says, God, create within us a right spirit and a pure heart. Divorce. Divorce is not in God's plan for our lives. You know, this is probably the hardest point I got to preach on, because divorce is so commonplace in our society. Over 50% of marriages end up in divorce, because people get married a lot of times for the wrong reason, and because people get divorced because they're not happy. Life is not about whether we are happy or not. Now, let those who have ears hear, because this goes for all of us. When you get up in the morning, you don't do that day what makes you happy. That is not our goal in life. And that may come as a shock to some of us. It is not about buying the thing that makes you happy, going to the place that makes you happy, having the things that you want to eat to make you happy, watching what you want to make you happy. Every day that we get up, our goal should be, what is it that makes God happy? Because my life is a living sacrifice for God. That's what each one of us should be saying. What is it, Lord, that will make you happy today? What can I do to make you happy? It's all about you. And divorce breaks his heart. See, because it says in Genesis chapter 2 that woman was taken from the side of man and brought to the man, and the man said, this now is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And for this reason, a man and his wife will cleave one unto the other and become one flesh. One flesh in the eyes of God. So that when that is broken apart through divorce, it actually dishonors God. And it shows a lack of faith on our part. And it's hard. It's hard. I read that. So I thought, oh, God, I don't want to say this stuff. You know, but God's telling us that divorce is not a good thing. But we live in a broken world, and the reality is that divorce happens. God is the source of our joy, the source of our healing. God wants us to have an abundant life. We have to trust in God to make even our relationships better, to heal our relationships. You know, we could spend all night talking about that one. The Apostle Paul said it's better not to be married at all so that you can faithfully serve the Lord, so that there's no distractions, no divided loyalties. See, life is all about God. And don't swear by an oath. Don't swear by an oath. You know, don't swear by heaven or earth, because it belongs to God. Don't swear by Jerusalem. Don't swear by the hair in your head. Don't swear by your mother's grave. Don't swear by anything. Because if you have to convince people that you're telling the truth, you've already missed the boat. We're Christians. We are children of God, and our word should be our bond. We should mean what we say and say what we mean as Christians, children of God, pure of heart, not devious, not lying, not half-truths, but honest and have integrity. And people should be able to take us at our word as Christians. So let your yes be yes and your no be no, period. This is easy stuff to say, but it's hard to do. Because our human nature fights us tooth and nail. Because we want to get angry at people. I'm telling you, if you're angry at somebody that has done you wrong, that has hurt you, you need to let it go. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. If you bring your gift to the altar and if somebody has something against you, leave your gift there and go and get reconciled. You got to let it go. You cannot be a racist and be a Christian. Nope. And there's a whole lot of people that think that's okay, but it's not. The Bible makes that real clear. You cannot be a racist and be a Christian. If you are a racist, you can sit in church all you want. You're going to hell. Because if you call somebody a fool, you're in danger of the fires of hell. We just read that. And there are people out there who hate other people because they're a different nationality, different color, different age, different gender, different lifestyle, and they hate other people because of those reasons. Bible makes it clear. You're going to hell. So what is the point of all this? If these are things that we struggle with, and it's part of our human nature, and we live in a broken world, and these things have happened, and they are happening, what is the point of all this? Well, it says in Romans chapter 12, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, which are holy and pleasing to God. To offer our bodies, our lives, as a living sacrifice to God. For this is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. To all those things we just talked about. Anger, the lusting, the brokenness, the telling lies, being a hypocrite. All that's the pattern of the world. We don't do that anymore. No longer conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And how do you renew your mind? You come to church, you get involved and do ministry, you make sacrifices for the sake of the gospel, you sing hymns, you praise God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you study the Bible, you hang out with other Christians. You exhort one another, hold each other accountable, and that is how you renew your mind. That's how you become more like Jesus and less like the world. But we don't get up in the morning and say, what can I do to make me happy today? It's not about me. It's all about God. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. You can't. You can be good for a while, but you're going to fall off the wagon. You're going to be good for a while and somebody's going to make you mad, cut you off in line while you're driving. You're going to have road rage. You're going to see some man or woman that is just going to light your fire. And you're going to let your mind wander. You're going to tell a lie. You're going to get caught in a lie. You're going to be embarrassed, so you're going to lie some more. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be transformed from the inside out. And the only way to do that is to surrender, is to give our lives as a living sacrifice to the Lord our God. That is the only chance we have. Surrender and ask the Holy Spirit to come into your life. That's what we need to do. God loves you, and so do I. Let's stand and sing Freely, Freely. Thank you. So lots of things going on this week. Please check your bulletin for the schedule of events and participate where you can. Invite your friends and family to church and to be part of the talent show. And come on out this afternoon, 2 o'clock, for our meeting, the ministry pool, as we look at all the ministries of the church and get those things taken care of. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus Christ's holy name, and God, we need your help. We need the Holy Spirit. We can't do this on our own. We've made mistakes. We struggle with things. Some mistakes can't be changed. But God, we know that with you there is health and wholeness and healing and forgiveness and love. So help us, God, to wake up every day and to ask ourselves, what can we do today to make God happy? For we ask it all in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen.